Hello and welcome to the Mind Body Spirit Festival podcast. I am your host, Rach Cox, and I am thrilled to be interviewing some of the world's best known experts in both well-being and spirituality. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. So, Ruby Dahl, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And first of all, your name is wonderful. A precious stone with my favourite dinner. You're on to a winner with me.
Thank you.
You're a self-love content creator and self-published author of 5 poetry books, some of which are bestsellers. And you've written articles on healing, self-love, heartbreak, relationships, mental health, culture and feminism. Brilliant. I'm a fan of all of that. And various magazines as well. And you will be coming to Mind, Body, Spirit, right, babe?
Yeah, I know. I'm excited, honestly. Thank you for that introduction. But yeah, I'll be coming on Mind, Body, Spirit to run a workshop. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, everyone can join by going to mindbodyspiritfestival.co.uk. And you're on Sunday at 10:30. So
yes,
that is very exciting. And I will be there.
That's amazing. Oh no, I need to be extra good. Then I need to do great.
You're clearly very good at what you do, darling. So
thank you.
First and foremost, self-love. This is a topic that is obviously massively popular for a very obvious reason. People find it incredibly hard to not only grasp the concept, but also to then put in practice. So how would you describe self-love initially? And then how can we commit ourselves to a self-love practice through mind, body and spirit?
I would say self-love in itself incorporates all three. There's two things. One part is that you feel love for yourself. That's just a part of self-love. How we see self-love, how I see self-love in my book, The Path to Self-Love, and in general in my day-to-day life, is as a tool to help you overcome overcome certain obstacles, move on from trauma and heal, essentially. So self-love is a significant tool. How we in modern day culture see self-love is like self-care practices, go for a run in the morning, do some meditation, which is amazing, read some self-care books, self-love books, and go to the gym, eat well, all those things, sleep on time. That's amazing. That is really, really amazing. But until you don't do the inner work, the hard work, which I label as tough self-love, you can't really get to enjoy and reap the benefits of easy self-love. So self-love, if I was to put it in just one line, would be when you're acting in a way to improve your mental, physical, and emotional health through both the easy stuff. The easy stuff, it's not easy to do, but it's different to the hard stuff, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Really facing yourself and then still loving yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's definitely tough.
Yeah,
definitely. Do you have any recommendations? People do like practical things, so, or is it a mindset or is it a practice? How would you?
I would say that self-love is not specifically like a I love me mindset all the time. So what we see, especially in this day and age, is this perspective that like I need to like unconditionally love myself, or I need to chant I love me, I love me, I love me constantly in order to be in that state of self-love. That's a facet of self-love. In order to truly, truly practice self-love, you need to meet your inner demons as well as all the things that you like about yourself. It's not just about constantly, affirming yourself. It's also about looking back at the past and thinking, okay, so maybe over here I made a mistake. Maybe it's okay to apologize. Maybe I should go and get closure. Maybe I need to start setting boundaries in my relationships in order to have healthy ones. Perhaps I should go, to therapy. I should go to that AA class because I have an alcohol problem. All these things are you acting in self-love. Now, the reason why often we don't think that they're self-love, we don't think that they're us trying to love ourselves, is because they're so hard to do, right? They're so difficult to do. And we have started to associate self-love with this like positive affirming mindset all the time. I love myself. I am happy. I'm great. But that's not what self-love is. Self-love is doing the difficult things that we put off, the difficult things that can make us upset, can make us sad. So generally, it's a mindset where you act in a way to improve your mental, physical, and emotional health, but not just through self-care practices. You do things that help you move on from difficult experiences, help you deal with your trauma, help you answer certain questions that you've had for a while and you've just been putting off. And so when you're acting on self-love, you're acting on this like all-encompassing vision of like, I want to heal. I want to feel better. I want to be happier. And I want to move forward from the past and from, you know, all my past trauma. And so I'm acting on self-love, essentially.
Love. Brilliant. Yeah. And the part where you said it's not always, I guess it doesn't always feel good initially. So if you're really diving into those darker parts of yourself, I think it's the bravery and the courage that people sometimes lack, because it does, you know, if you've already got low self-esteem and then you're doing something that's bringing all that back up, it can be, it is very, very hard as someone who's had 12 years of psychotherapy. It's very difficult to start, I think. And then, of course, there's another difficulty in maintaining it.
Absolutely. Especially when you're doing like the really tough practices, because those are not going to bring the high that going for a workout is, you know, like when you're at the gym, you're struggling in the moment, but you know, the endorphins, all the serotonin, all the happy feelings, happy hormones that you get once you've completed a workout, you're probably not going to get. No. If you've had a difficult therapy session, you're probably not going to get when you go for counseling, probably not going to get when you go to an AA class. But the point is that when you push past that initial uncomfortable feeling, you'll then be able to enjoy all the other things, you know, all the, I want to go to a Pilates class. I want to go and meet my friend for coffee. I want to go, you know, for brunch with my mom. I want to do all these things that make me feel good, make me happier in life, because that is, you know, self-love. But you can do that once you get through, once you push through that first little hurdle of, this is so uncomfortable and I really don't want to be doing this. And yeah, like a lot of us feel like that, totally. You know?
The united feeling, I think.
yeah, definitely. Now,
I'm from a very sort of working class background, and the term self-love, if I was to say, I'm going to do some self-love, my family would be like, what the bloody hell are you talking about? You mean you're just going to love yourself and make yourself look pretty? Which is another thing about Instagram, right? So everyone who propagates and promotes self-love is usually some model-esque figure dancing around in white going, oh my God, I just love myself.
Yeah.
I have been, and I'm sure that most people are so far removed from that, stuck in self-sabotage, self-harm, self-loathing. So to make the leap from that space to self-love, there's got to be a little bit in between. So how do your practices sort of take us from one extreme to the other, my love?
Okay, so I would say, so I'm someone who for a really, really long time thought I was practicing self-love through just self-care practices. And I thought, oh my God, I'm doing all this stuff. Like I'm eating healthy. I'm going on my 10K steps, you know, at least five times a week. I am writing my affirmations down. I'm listening to subliminals. I am, you know, going to the gym. I'm doing all of this stuff that I have learned to be self-love. I have learned that this is what self-love is. Why do I still feel uncomfortable? Why can I still not manage my relationships? Why am I having difficulty in having this particular conversation that's uncomfortable? Why am I constantly getting triggered in my romantic relationship? Like, what's going on? And so you need that aha moment. You need that moment where you're like, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything by the book, but I'm not making a difference in my life. Like, my mindset is still the same. And that was the moment for me where I was like, okay, so I'm trying really hard to do all this external stuff, but I've not done any of the internal stuff. And this book goes into a lot more detail. Like, The Path to Self-Love literally lays down how you go from, I can't do this and I can't practice self-love, to, oh my God, I'm taking these tiny steps and I am practicing self-love. And the very, very first step to doing that is to have that realization that perhaps what I've done until now has not worked, and there's something that I need to shift. There's a change that I need to make. And maybe it's not about, you know, chanting affirmations. Maybe it's something else. Okay, let me sit down. What area in my life am I struggling with? Okay, my romantic relationship. Why, you know, what are these triggers? Why? And then, you know, look at those triggers and be like, okay, so every time this happens, I get triggered. What might, you know, this trigger be a result of? Then look back at your past, reflect on your childhood experiences, reflect on your, you know, adolescent experiences, and try and, you know, unpick those experiences and those moments in your life that have caused you and resulted in you being in this position where your partner saying, you know, X, Y, and Z triggers you so much. And so it's not like, there's no one size fits all approach, Rachel, when it comes to self-love. You really have, like, everybody has such an intricate experience. We all have such personal experiences that we really have to sit down with our pain and sit down with our past trauma and figure out how we want to move on from it using self-love. And there's lots of tools, there's lots of tips that I talk about in this book in particular. And also there will be like some, a little bit of an intro that I'm going to do when we do the workshop. But it really is like, so I go into boundary setting, I go into relationships, I go into a heartbreak, I go into losing a loved one, I go into emotional abuse. There's all these different things that have shaped us and have contributed to our experiences that we may have gone through. When we want to practice self-love, we need to deal with all these various areas in our life. We need to be like, okay, heartbreak, have I ever had a heartbreak? Okay, which heartbreak was the most significant? Was there a few? Why do I always feel like this about my heartbreaks? Why do I struggle to love myself when I go through a heartbreak? Like, why do I think it's me? Why do I blame myself? Why do I engage in self-blame? Why do I have low self-esteem? And so there's all these different aspects of our life that in this book I go into, I dive into, and then we unpick them one part of your life at a time to see how you can use self-love to heal from it and to move forward.
Beautiful. And are you bringing your book with you to Mount Mind Body Spirit Festival?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll be bringing lots of books. So whoever wants to grab one is welcome to.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad. Yes.
Yes.
And would you be able to tell us a little bit about your workshop at Mind Body Spirit without giving too much away?
Absolutely. It's going to be so amazing. We're going to have small little journals for everyone. So everyone who attends gets their own little personal journal in which they can jot down stuff. Because it is an interactive workshop, so there'll be a lot of like back and forth. What I wanted to do is, it's not possible to go into the whole topic of self-love in one workshop. It's not possible for me, especially in the way that I've written about it. So I wanted to pick one aspect from my book, which is Tough and Easy Practices of Self-Love, Boundary Setting and Social Media, and kind of give a little bit of an overview of, firstly, what is self-love to the people who are attending? So all the attendees, what does self-love mean to you? We learn about self-love in a different way. We learn about how to do boundary setting. There's going to be like an interactive element where we're going to like get on our feet, hopefully, and set some boundaries. And just generally, there's going to be like a lot of reflective exercises that we're going to do as the workshop goes on, just to give everybody a little bit of an intro of what self-love has been until now, what we think it is, and what it can become in order for us to heal and move on truly. So definitely, it's going to be very, very exciting, very healing, very healing.
Nice. Well, that is what pretty much the world needs. So I'm glad we've got
you. Yeah. thank you. I hope
it's going to be wonderful. And how did your journey with self-love begin, and what was kind of an epiphany moment or a turning point that inspired you to write and put yourself out there on YouTube and Instagram?
So I've been writing, like sharing my writing on social media for 8 years now. And in the beginning, when I first started sharing my work on Instagram, it was because I was in a very, very bad place. I had very low self-esteem. I was very depressed. I had low mood. I just wanted to give up, essentially. I was in, you know, the lowest of lows where you feel like I can't move on from this particular experience I've had, and there's no point in living, essentially. That's how my mindset was. And that was not how I wanted to stay. I was 21 years old. That's not someone who, as a 21-year-old, wants to experience. And so I started to do what I do best, which is I started to write down my feelings on paper, because I had always wanted to be an author. I wanted to write books. And I was like, okay, the best way I can do this is essentially journal. And I started journaling. And at the same time, I had created a blog on WordPress, and I was writing like short stories and little poems and so on my WordPress. And I created the Instagram as like an extension of the WordPress. So I was like, okay, I posted a blog. Let me take a screenshot of the blog. And then I'd advertise it on Instagram. And then that then changed from WordPress to me sharing poetry, me talking about heartbreak and healing and relationships and so on. And it just resonated with everyone. It just, whoever read my pieces online felt like, oh my God, I didn't know that someone could feel like this. Like, I feel like this. I didn't know someone else felt like this. And I feel like I can resonate with your words. I feel understood. I don't feel alone. And so I decided to be even more vulnerable and express all those emotions and feelings online even more. And over time, it just kind of, you know, blew up. And I healed as a result of sharing my words online. And I'm hopeful that a lot of people healed alongside me. And I think that's when I really started to understand, what does it mean to heal? What does it mean to love yourself? What does it mean to move on from difficult life experiences? How do you unpeel yourself from a trauma that's lifelong? Like, all those things I started to learn about. The more I wrote about it, the more I had experiences outside of the writing, the more that I understood how and what I was doing to, like, come through from those difficult experiences. For me, the aha moment was, as I mentioned before, like, I was doing all these self-care practices and I just wasn't feeling like I loved myself, like I was in a good place. And it wasn't until I got into a relationship that I understood that I had a lot of past pent-up trauma and a lot of stuff that I needed to move on from in order to truly accept myself and accept the love that others were giving me and the love that was around me. So, yeah, I had the aha moment when I just was feeling so low despite everything being okay.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, something needs to change because I shouldn't be feeling this low. I have a wonderful partner. My family is wonderful. Everyone's healthy, happy. People are loved. Why am I still so angry with the world? Why am I still so angry with myself? Like, what is going on? And that's when I said, okay, I need to reflect. I need to do some work on myself and I need to truly, truly practice self-love in the, you know, all-inclusive, incorporative way, as opposed to just at face value. And that's when I decided, okay, I need to write a book about it. When I was like healing, when I was getting better, I was like, I need to write a book about this because I have, you know, tried out all these little tools. I've tried all these things out and they have worked for me. And I know for a fact that they're really going to work for all my readers who have until now supported, you know, my poetry and my prose. And I know for a fact that they will support and that they will be inspired and resonate with a personal development book, which goes into so much more detail. And yeah, so I just wanted to share all my personal experiences and share everything that I've learned because I don't want to gatekeep. I mean, if something's working for you, you want to, you know, share it with everyone. You want to be like, okay, this has helped me become the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to take this away and I want you to live your best life as well.
Yeah. Super, super powerful. And obviously your vulnerability has inspired others and shared experience is incredibly powerful. And that, I think you said in there that, you know, self-acceptance, and I think that's partially an answer to my previous question, how do we go from self-sabotage to self-love?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of self-acceptance in the middle there.
Yeah.
And that's probably a step, and I'm glad that
organically
came up in that.
That's it.
And absolutely. Your supporters, absolutely. I noticed, this is just a little personal thing, I noticed you've got a little bit of support from Prince EA.
Yeah.
Amazing. What a woman you are. So you spoke a little bit about self-esteem and I'd like to talk about self-esteem and self-confidence and self-worth, especially in relation to mental health. We're coming into Mental Health Week and you said about your mood being very low as a result. So I don't know if you've got anything you'd like to expand on there.
In terms of mental health in general?
Mental health, yeah.
Yeah, so essentially, like, when you're working on yourself, when you have self-love for yourself, when you're practicing self-love, you want to improve all areas of your life and they're all interlinked. So say I'm working on this particular really, really difficult traumatic experience that I've had and I'm like, how do I move on from this? It's really, really impacting me. I feel so low and I need to move on. When you sit down with yourself, you sit down with your thoughts and you ask yourself the difficult questions and you try and either get closure, either have that difficult conversation with the person who has caused you to feel like this, or you say, you know what, I can give myself closure and I can move on from this and I need to let go of the past and keep the past in the past. You really, you're basically unloading that very, very heavy weight from your back and you just feel instantly lighter. And when you start to work on all these different aspects of your life, when you're practicing self-love, your mental health and your self-esteem improves naturally because when we do something for ourselves, when we're like, okay, I want to take care of myself and I want to, I don't know, have a spa day. I want to have a spa day. I want to go to the sauna. I want to have a day with my girls and just take it easy. You instantly, like when you're in that moment and when you're in that zone, you instantly feel so much better. You feel so much more relaxed. And you just feel like I am doing something for myself because I deserve it. And you feel better about yourself because you're working on yourself and you're giving yourself that validation and that value that, yes, you know, I give my time to my friends, I give my time to my family, but I'm giving this time to myself and I'm taking care of myself in a, you know, in a way in which I haven't before or I don't usually. And genuinely you feel better, like naturally about yourself. And how mental health works into that is, like, our mental health is just such a delicate thing, Rachel. It's just sometimes you just don't know what it is that's affecting you. You know, life could be so, so amazing. It could be great. It could be beautiful. But you're still low, and you don't know why you feel that way and why, you know, the day just feels gray. And how I've dealt with it over the years, and one very important part in this book as well, is that when the hard days come, I just accept them. So if I'm having a hard day, I don't fight it. I don't say, oh my God, no. I'm practicing self-love. I'm at the peak of practicing, you know, self-love, doing all these things for myself. Why am I still having a hard day? Why am I still feeling bad? No, I shouldn't know. No, it's completely fine. Like, the hard days are a part of your life just as much as the good days, the high days, the great days. And those hard days sometimes can come, you know, like a hurricane and just, you know, take you like a storm. And on those days, you just accept them. You let them, you know, come in. You welcome them and you let them pass. You give them a place to stay and you let them pass, knowing that this feeling and this emotion and this mindset that you're in, it's not forever. You know, today you're feeling low. Tomorrow you will feel better. At some point you will feel better. And that's how I see, you know, all this time of like healing from various difficult experiences. That's how I see it. That when you're healing in general and you're trying to carry actions to feel better about your situation and to feel better about yourself, you're trying to raise your vibration. You're trying to raise your emotions. If you suddenly, after, you know, going high, suddenly go low, it's okay. It's completely fine. It's normal. And on those days, you just have to take it easy. You just have to be gentle with yourself. You just have to, you know, go easy on yourself, essentially.
Yeah. Perfect. And I think that that's as a result of expectations that are really unrealistic, that everyone through social media sees only the bright side of everything all the time. And so when we don't feel good all the time, we then can add fuel to the fire with our own self-doubt and our own self-talk. And that can then be sustained, which is not very healthy at all. So no, it's good to know that not being okay is okay, which I think is a really important thing for people to understand.
Social media is like, you know, a very social media comparison. Not only do I discuss it in the workshop, but there's a huge chapter on it in the book. I discuss it in the workshop because it's so important. Like, you can't discuss self-love in today's day and age without discussing social media. I don't think it's possible.
Hell yeah.
And there's a huge chapter on it in the book as well, where it really talks about how everybody always posts their highs. And as happy as I am for them, as happy as I am for everybody saying, you know, I've had a great day. I woke up at 5 a.m. and went on a run. And then I had I read a mindfulness book, and then I had coffee at my favorite coffee shop, and I'm living life to the fullest. I am very happy for you. I'm very happy for you indulging in these forms of self-care and self-love. But that's not just all there is to self-love. And me watching all of that, like, I'm happy for you, but I'm not having that day. I'm having a really bad day and I'm feeling really low. And by social media standards, if I'm practicing self-love, I should be on a high. I should be doing all these things for myself. Why am I not on a high? And then suddenly you start to question yourself, because you're like, do I really love myself? Like, if I'm not doing what they're doing, do I really, you know, care about myself? Because I'm not, you know, carrying out all these self-care actions. I'm not taking care of my health because I had junk food. Like, do I really love? And so you start to question yourself. And the most important thing when you're on, you know, a self-love journey, when you're on the path to self-love, is to be so gentle with yourself, to treat yourself with patience, and to go easy on yourself, because social media is not real. We all know that social media, we see everybody's highs, and we ourselves haven't really created this environment where people can share their lows, if I'm quite honest. Like, we need to create a social media environment where people can be honest about their vulnerabilities and their low experiences, so that everybody can. And so we can feel like we're all a part of this, you know, this difficult path to self-love together. I think, like, social media comparison and just comparison in general, thinking that you should be at a certain place when you're practicing self-love, thinking that you should do X, Y, and Z, you should feel a certain way if you're practicing self-love. All of these things are just these unrealistic expectations that have been set for us by society, by social media, by modern day culture. And they need to be broken down. Yeah. Like, I feel like a conversation about self-love is a conversation about all aspects of your life, and the internal is just as important as the external. Mm-hmm. Not more, if I'm quite honest. Like, until you don't work on the internal, until you don't take care of all the inside stuff, no matter how many runs you go on, no matter how much healthy food you eat, there's nothing's going to be able to change that inner state of yours. And so it's really, really important to focus on that part of yourself first.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Amazing. Yeah, there's so much we could say about social media, but I won't. Yeah. I think we could carry on for a very long time with that. Boundaries. You've mentioned setting boundaries, and yeah. I'd like to tie that into mental health as well, because I've found it absolutely liberating. I just think that I'd like to hear from you what that can do for your mental health and self-worth.
Boundary setting is the best thing that you could do for your mental health. It's the best thing that you can do for yourself. Like, it's an act of self-love, essentially. So self-love is something that's so intricately related to other people love. So like, we're social beings, right? And no matter how much I do for myself, if my environment is really negative, it's going to impact my mental health. It's going to make me feel like, if I've got a very bad relationship with the people around me, the people that I share a house with, that's going to have a direct impact on my mental health. If I have a poor relationship with my best friend, if I'm having difficulties at work, you know, with my manager, all of this negatively impacts your mental health. It brings your gives you low self-esteem, brings your mood down, and you just feel like generally there's something wrong, even though you're trying to do everything you can. Now, the biggest thing that you can do for yourself when you're in such a situation is to set boundaries with people who are around you. And it doesn't have to be something crazy. It could be like subtle boundaries. Like, if you're someone who's an introvert who doesn't really like touching people, when you meet someone, you just kind of, you know, say hello, wave your hand. You don't need to touch them. You don't need to shake their hand. You don't need to give them a hug. If you're someone who has always struggled with your best friend always telling you, you need my opinion to go out, subtly just explain, just first tell yourself, I don't need my best friend to tell me what to wear. I don't need my mum to constantly tell me what's right for me. I can make that decision for myself. And then you set that boundary with your mum, or you set that boundary with your best friend, and instantly the weight is lifted off your shoulders, because you feel like you have made where you stand very clear. And boundary setting with the people who care about you and the people who love you will always accept your boundaries, even if they find it difficult at first, that, you know, things have been a certain way until now, and now suddenly I'm expected to act in a different way. They will still accept it because they love you. And those are the relationships that you should savor. And those are the relationships that are good for your mental health, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to cut people off. You don't want to completely let people go. You don't want to, unless someone's really, really bad for you, you don't want to, those intricate, deep relationships that you share and that are in your support circle. If there's an aspect of that relationship that's difficult for you, setting a very subtle or an actual proper hard boundary can be very, very rejuvenating, and it can really save your relationship. And that's so, so important for your mental health and well-being, to have those healthy, accommodating, nourishing relationships. And boundaries are great when you set them for relationships that are bringing you lots of pain. Say you're in a workplace and your manager is constantly micromanaging you, and they don't believe that you can, you know, achieve a certain thing. Now, setting boundaries in those situations is very, very important, because you spend 7-8 hours a day at work. You spend so much of your time at work that if you don't start setting boundaries in an environment that's taking away most of your energy, you're going to be very unhappy, and you're going to have very low mood. When you come home, no matter how, you know, happy your kids are, wonderful your kids, your family, your mom, your dad, your husband is, you're still going to feel so low because you had such a bad day at work, constantly being told what to do. And it means finding a notice and finding a new job. That is your boundary. Like, if your manager is not going to give you that space to, you know, make your own decisions and stop micromanaging you, then the boundary you set is, I am out of here. Like, I know my worth, I know what I deserve, and I shouldn't be taking this. And so many of us let ourselves be in such situations and in such relationships and such, you know, just situationships, that we think that setting a boundary means we're going to destroy what this is. We're going to ruin this relationship. No, because the people who really, really, truly love and care about you, the people who deserve to be in your life, will accept your boundaries. And it will do so much to save your relationship and help your mental health than it will do to destroy it. And if you setting a boundary impacts your relationship negatively, the other person doesn't accept it, are they really deserving, like, of your love, care, and attention? I don't think so.
Hell no.
I don't think so.
No. It's amazing when you said, you know, is this boundary going to destroy my relationship? When I first discovered boundaries, I was a bit of a pendulum. So I started putting in so many, I was like aggressively putting in boundaries, which was not really what was required. And then I sort of, through therapy and support, I was like, oh no, a boundary is loving. A boundary is, it feels good when you set a boundary. It can feel a little bit, you can be a bit apprehensive, but there's a different feeling to, you know, dominating a situation out of fear, basically, or doing something from a place of love. So that's, I just wanted to add that little bit of hilarity after you talked about that.
Yeah, I agree. Boundaries don't need to be aggressive and they don't need to be confrontational either, I think. Unless things get really, really, really bad, then fair enough, you know, make it as confrontational. But I think they can be soft, they can be sweet, they can be subtle. They can be in the way that you stand. They can be in the way that you talk to someone. It doesn't have to, like, especially if, say, there's a friend that you really, really value and you don't want them to get offended. They're doing something without realizing it. You can set a boundary in a way where they understand what you mean, but they're not offended either. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of boundary setting. Like, it can save your relationships and save your mental health without you having to go, because it's exhausting if you're setting like a confrontational, difficult, aggressive boundary. It's exhausting for you as well, because you're having an argument with a friend who doesn't seem to understand where you're coming from, or, you know, your mum's like, no, I'm not accepting this, and so on. But when you set it in a soft, subtle way, if you can help it, I think it saves you and them from that much harder, you know, much exhausting emotional labor that you don't need to go into.
Yeah, it is. I find everything exhausting, but with the right boundaries, far less exhausting. Oh dear. So how do you envision the evolution of our collective self-love in the future as humanity, as our community, and mind, body, spirit within your community? Where do you see it going?
Where do I see it going? I feel like we've gone from seeing it as such a taboo theme, a taboo topic many years ago, to indulging in it in such a way where wherever we see, we have people who are living their best lives, who are putting themselves first, boundary setting, you know, acting in a way to improve their mental, physical and emotional health. And I think that's amazing. But I think going forward, we need to create a balance between not overindulging in face value self-love and actually doing the inner work. And I think going forward, self-love is going to transform into something that's a lot more healing, like a lot more of the inner stuff is going to come out to the fore. Because self-love is transforming, right? It transformed from something where you couldn't even talk about it to, okay, let's have these conversations, to, you know, oh my God, yes, let's have these affirmations, let's have these subliminals, let's take care of our physical health. How do we do that? Let's exercise. Let's take care of our mental health. How do we do that? Let's meditate. Let's take care of our emotional health. How do we do that? Let's journal. And now we can go from, okay, let's do all these external things, to let's use self-love in a truly healing way. You know, how can I use self-love? Oh, let's have this very difficult conversation with my mom about something that I don't like when she says it to me, but for me, in order to truly, truly accept myself, in order to feel better about myself in all my achievements, is once I sit down and I have this conversation. So I think moving forward, it will definitely be, we'll see self-love as a lot more intricate, like a lot more essential to living a balanced life, but there won't be a crazy, crazy, I hope, influence and a crazy, crazy negative balance towards just the external stuff. I think we will focus more, a lot more on the internal, a lot more on the healing. I don't know. I think that's how I see it going forward. What do you think? It's very difficult.
Less visual in the brevity, less visual and more integrated. Because at the moment it feels like we're getting societal rewards for saying that we're doing self-love or practicing it, but eventually, hopefully, it'll be something that, you know, as you say, it's so transformative that and essential that the more mainstream it gets, the better, really. So thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Well,
it's definitely an interesting question. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that there's a community because we do need to share experiences and draw on support from one another as well.
You know, one really important facet of self-love, which I've not discussed, is like in the realm of my book and in the realm of how I practice love and self-love, is other people are essential to your self-love journey.
Yeah.
So self-love isn't just me, 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 me. It's not like I want to work on myself, I want to focus on myself. No, self-love is intricately related to other people. And so if we think about self-love in this way, what does self-love mean for the community? Well, essentially, when you start practicing self-love in the way that I understand it, in the path to self-love and in the way that I see it, is you're naturally improving all your environment, your relationships, and then you practicing self-love is improving the self-esteem and the experience of the person in front of you.
Yeah.
Because when you're practicing self-love and you're like, I want to improve my relationships, you improving your relationship with the other person is then raising their self-esteem, raising their experience, their lived experiences, making them happy and joyful. And it's kind of like a domino effect of where if we all practice self-love in this healing, curative way that incorporates our relationships and society in general, then we are working towards like a kinder, gentler environment and everybody is happy. Which is what we want,
it is.
Essentially.
That is basically what we want. Yeah, that's a collective intention setting right there. Thanks for that.
That's it, yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, we do. No man, woman, or they, them is an island, are they, Ruby? We do need to interact.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Wim Hof a little while ago, and he said to me that our bodies require, our energy fields require, you know, other energy fields to be around.
Yeah,
it's basic
absolutely.
Psychology. And I think that when people want to work on themselves, I've done this, is I've locked myself in a room and gone, I'm not speaking to anyone. I hate everyone else at the minute. No. Just I work on not hating myself. And that might be a part of the process, but then we do have to emerge.
Absolutely. I think like even research and science have, you know, shown and proven that people who don't have a safe support circle, people who aren't surrounded by quality, healthy relationships, nourishing relationships, they are unhappier, they have a lower lifespan. Just generally having a good group of people around you works so much better for you. It improves your mental health, it raises your self-esteem, it makes you feel worthy. Of course, you shouldn't rely on other people to validate you, but we are social beings. Like, that is just how we have evolved. We need healthy, good relationships. We need love of the love of others and the love of ourselves. And so integral to the self-love journey is working on your relationships, is building like a safe support group around you. That just generally makes you happier and brings joy into your life. And it's so important, I think.
Very.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad we all agree. That's good news. Have you got any success stories? Is there any one person, maybe one of your readers or someone that you've had an effect on that has really sort of touched you?
You know what? I get messages like that usually, and it's like, it's been a few years now. Like, it's been 8 years, right? The first time that I ever received a message where, you know, I share a lot of pieces on healing and moving on and self-discovery and stuff. And then when you read a message, which is just so deep, Rachel, like, it's just like, it just shakes you completely. I wouldn't say it's a success story. I would just say that the messages that I sometimes receive, they really move me, and they show you how important social media and how impactful it is. Because like, say you receive a message and someone's like, you know, today I wanted to end my life and your word saved me. That just shows you the gravity of what we put online and how important it is that we are helpful, gentle, kind, supportive, and we create like a safe environment for people. Because anything, like, you know, say you're having a really bad day, you go online, you see a quote or you see something, a piece of content that instantly lifts your mood, you have a good day. Say you're having a bad day and then you see something which is just horrific, you know, it's depressing, it's aggressive, that's not going to make you feel any better. And so I would say that whenever I receive a message from someone who says, I resonate with your words, or this healed me, or your book, you know, saved me and it helped me get out of like depression or something, for me that's just such a big thing. And it's a huge gift to be able to do that and to be able to support people in that way. But then it also reminds me that what I do, it should not be taken lightly, and I should always be very mindful about what I share online and everything that I put out there and all the content that I share. And so that's why whatever I write, all the books that I write, The Path to Self-Love in particular, it's made to help people, because words have the power to like move mountains, essentially, I think. And yeah, like I would just say generally any message that I receive where someone just gives me so much as a thank you, I'm like, thanks, I've served my purpose, it's great.
Amazing, what a lovely, rewarding, symbiotic, bilateral situation.
Absolutely.
You know, you get back what you give to them as well. And
yeah,
and it is really lovely when people reach out, isn't it? It's so personal. And because, you know, if someone has a very big Instagram following, you kind of either put them on a pedestal, think they're unreachable, they won't care, or won't read.
Yeah.
And of course, on a practical level, you can't necessarily always read everything, but you're obviously very humble, down to earth, and human, which, you know, obviously comes through your work. And it's really lovely to hear that you have that connection with your audience and your readers and your community.
Yeah, I mean, we're all healing, we're all going through the highs and lows of life, and if we can help each other in some way, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a silly thing to share with you at the end because of the topic of what you do, self-love.
Nothing so is silly. Nothing is silly, Rachel.
Well, this guy's pretty silly. It's kind of one of my fortes. I do spiritual stand-up comedy, and I often put out to the audience, what are the words or the concepts that you struggle with or that have been overused or that are mind-boggling to you?
And people say self-love.
One time, someone in the audience went, self-love just means you're a wanker.
Oh my God.
I loved it.
I
like,
think it's great.
How do you think that?
I think it's great, honestly. It's true though. Like the way what we read about self-love online and the way that we see everyone indulging in it, it's just so like self-obsessed. Honestly, I feel like there's so much more to self-love that it isn't
the
that
narcissism.
Yeah, isn't narcissism, isn't, you know, like, you know, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for all the people who indulge in self-love in that way, who believe that generally me doing all of this, having a particular routine, waking up early, so on, is helping me. I think it's great. I think it's really great. But it's setting this very unrealistic standard for the rest of us who are normal human beings, people who have a 9-to-5, people who have children, people who are struggling just to like get home on time, make dinner, eat, go to sleep on time. Like, for them, it's suddenly, oh, I don't love myself at all. Like, I don't practice self-love according to these standards. No, these standards are unrealistic. These standards are completely unrealistic. Yeah. You can practice self-love. You can definitely practice self-love. And just because you're not waking up super early, going to the gym 5 times a week, you know, eating super, super healthy vegan food, it's fine. As long as you're doing the other stuff, the stuff that can often be uncomfortable, you know? And I think, I think you're right. Like, self-love is just very, very, it's been, you know, drained in a way. And it's just, it's popularized too much in the way that it shouldn't be. It should be deeper. I think there's just so much more to it. So much, we've just scraped the surface, I would say. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think you're reinventing it for me anyway. So
oh, I
thanks.
Hope so. I really hope that you enjoyed the book, and when you read it, you're like, yeah, that's bloody self-love.
That's what it is.
It's what it is.
Are you doing an audiobook?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I'm recording it actually next month. I'm so excited, Rachel. I'm so
good,
excited.
Because I went on Audible and I saw that I could pre-order it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to listen to it before I speak to her, but I'm not allowed.
Absolutely.
I'm not allowed, babe.
Definitely the audiobook will be in my voice. But obviously I talk really fast, but I'm going to I'll have a production person, I'll have like a team there, and they will guide me on how to like talk really slow and like poetic and, you know, get it in the vibe so that you're in your self-love zone when you're hearing the audiobook. And it will definitely be not aggressive, loud, crazy Ruby. It will be like a soothing calm.
I'm here for all of the Rubies. And also we can adjust on Audible. You do you, babe. You do you. Let everyone in turn do them.
You know, I actually, when I listen to podcasts, I fast forward them. Like, I put them to like 1.2 or 1.3 because I just generally like to hear people talk faster. I pick it up very quickly. But I know that I have a problem when it comes to talking. Like, when I'm really passionate, I'm just like, I go on a rant. So everyone
who's
everyone who's listened to this podcast, I'm sure has like made it slower, like they've slowed it down a little.
Especially with the two of us. Yeah. It's been very high energy, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much. I think I'm just going to ask you one final question, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've talked about self-love and, of course, the fact that we are social beings. And most of humanity not only struggles with self-love, but also finding a partner. And when we become more conscious and we have spiritual practices and we start taking care of ourselves, the dating pool shrinks significantly.
Absolutely.
And so then you can get into another cycle of, oh, I'm not good enough, or, and people say I'm not enough. And I always say I'm too much.
I say the same.
What would you say about, because I think you've used the word toxic as well, which is one of my faves, toxicity in dating and just putting yourself out there to date, in fact.
Yeah.
How do we navigate that?
Oh, God, how do we navigate dating and putting yourself out there? I think the biggest problem, I'm directing this to cis and transgender women, but I guess it can apply to men as well, is that we doubt ourselves too much. We have too much self-doubt. So, like, when we're dating, we think, if we say something wrong or say that, like, the guy in front of me says something or he treats me a certain way, I suddenly think, oh, no, it's me. Like, I've said something. I shouldn't have acted in this way. Or perhaps, I should be a certain way. The first thing to dating and the most important thing to anybody going in the dating pool is be sure of yourself, okay? You go into that zone. You go into that, I'm going to date people, knowing who you are. And I think younger people struggle with this a lot more because they're still finding themselves. They're trying to figure out, the various facets of their personality. But I think a lot of the older generation knows. You know where you stand. You know who you are. You know what's good about you. You know what's bad about you. Just embrace all of it. And when you go into any sort of like dating app or dating situation, make sure, and this is specifically for my older audiences, that your list is not too much. Your list is fine. What you want in a person, what you want in a partner, you should get in a partner. Like, you're not being too picky. You're not being like, you're not like swiping left constantly because you don't like how a certain person looks. You know what you want. You know that I have lived my entire life in this particular way. I know what makes me happy. I know what doesn't make me happy. If I had a romantic partner, I would then want them to have X, Y, and Z personality trait. I would also say don't be too shallow. Okay, I would say don't be too shallow. Focus on the person's like internal beauty as well. I think especially like the younger lot, we tend to go for like, oh my god, he looks so fit, like he's so good looking, and then within a few dates he's not that good looking on the inside, girl. So definitely focus on the internal. And I would say go for the nice people, the nice guys. You don't want to be on that sweet with their words. Like, people, especially men, have this thing of like sweeping you in with grand gestures and words of like affirmation. You're beautiful, you're kind, you're wonderful. And then once they have you in the bag, then it's all like, go for someone who is upfront, like someone who is who they are from like day one. Like, they don't pretend to be someone they're not. They don't try to, swoon in and, lift you off your feet and just completely Prince Charming you. You don't need someone like that. You need someone who's realistic. You need someone who like has their head screwed on, knows what they want, knows what they want from you, and you know what you want from yourself. And you just like two confident individuals who are on their own individual path to finding themselves and achieving success in their personal and professional life, and you just come together. And the biggest thing I would say is don't go searching for love in the hope that it will heal you or fill a void in your heart, because that is the worst reason that you could possibly look for love. Because what happens, right, is that then you get into relationships. There's a void in your heart. Something's missing. What is missing, I can tell you, is the fact that you need to heal. You need to move on from your past trauma. You need to work on yourself. You need to practice self-love. However, you think it's love. You think it's romantic love. You think there's a void, there's something missing. All these people who are in relationships look so happy, look so comfortable, look so joyous. Maybe if I had that, I would also be the same. Then you get into that and you're like, this is not fulfilling me. I still feel empty. I still feel depleted. Maybe he's not the one. Okay, next person. Still feel empty. So rather than getting into these constant situationships or datingships or relationships which are not filling that empty void in your chest, fill that void yourself. Work on yourself. Mm. Only get into a relationship when you know that either you have worked on yourself or you are working on yourself, so that this relationship can add to you. They don't, you know, fill anything that's missing. They just add to you. They add to your life. It's an additional person. It's not a person that's filling the gap of an empty space. And that's the main reason I would say get into a relationship. Get into a relationship when you know that you have everything that you could possibly give yourself. And when you are with someone in a romantic sense, they are adding to all the joy and happiness in your life. They're not filling a role. They're not fitting into a slot. Mm. And yeah, they're just walking on this journey of healing, this journey of life, and this journey of loving yourself together. I think that's how I would see it.
Beautiful. Thank you. Very succinctly put.
Thank you.
My love.
Thank you.
A wordsmith, I guess you'd be quite good at that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like my second or third language, so I do struggle to like pronounce certain words. Yeah. So I do struggle to like you know, like even when I was writing this book,
your brain is excellent.
No. I'm just like, I've been brought up here, so I kind of, you know, learned English along with my mother tongue and so on. But that's, I think, one really major, like, huge problem for a South Asian writer is that you could have so much to say, but sometimes I do struggle with knowing how to put it. When I'm vocalizing it in words that I know are really like succulent, they're like, you know, they sound so great to your ears, and pronouncing them properly as well. Like there's a lot of words that I struggle with pronouncing. I just kind of like, I forget. Yeah.
I think, I mean, English is my first and only language, first of all, and second of all, two things that I pronounced incorrectly growing up, just if I shame myself, you'll feel great. In English class, I was reading out loud and I went nuisance, and my teacher went, what? And I went nuisance. And she was like, that's nuisance. And the other one was hyperbole. We were learning about Shakespeare. And I went hyperbole, and she went, no, Rach, it's hyperbole. You're nailing life and I'm a thickie.
No, you're really not. Like I have gone, like I remember saying, and this is just like, it's just basic pronunciation. I remember saying like scones and schedule. And apparently I'm not supposed to say scones and I'm not supposed to say schedule. I'm supposed to say schedule and I'm supposed to say scones. And I'm like, what is it? It's like, we say scones, you know, we
Well, I look forward to seeing it, mind, body, spirit, my darling.
Me too. I'm really looking forward to it, and thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've learned a lot, and I'm thoroughly enthralled by you.
Oh, thank you. I'm enthralled by you. You're so lovely.
Brilliant. All right, my darling, I will speak to you at Mind, Body, Spirit.
Amazing.
See you there.
Thank you so much. See ya.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival podcast. We would love to connect with you in person at one of our epic events. Go to mindbodyspiritfestival.co.uk for tickets and information. I will see you there. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Instagram, MBS Wellbeing, for behind the scenes content, updates, and offers. Stay cosmic, you beautiful soul.